book of Exodus, I want to leave this with you today. And if you would read from the 7th verse of the 3rd chapter down through the 20th verse, you would find the scripture setting that I would like to use. So time has taken wings and flown by as we have been worshiping the Lord. And so I'll just read, first of all, the 7th verse and possibly verse 19 and 20. And then you can read the rest of it. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. Now, if you just backed up in your Bible until the last chapter there of the book of Genesis, you would find that Joseph had died and they had buried him in a coffin, and now all of their hopes had been extinguished. Joseph, by the circumstances which we don't have time to go into today, had been placed in Egypt to save this remnant. They had placed all of their faith and trust that he was going to be the one, and they had almost become the supreme ruling powers in Egypt. Then by the turn of events, this thing slipped from their hand, and the children of Israel had found themselves now in slavery and bondage. And now Israel cried for the supernatural. After 430 years of slavery and bondage, they knew that the natural, in which they'd been depending upon, the natural of Joseph, could not get the job done. So they cried out to God for the supernatural in all of his fullness. They knew now that it would take God. And we are in like circumstances today, almost identically. We have tried many, many avenues, and our church world, and if you read in the paper again, as they've had a world council on evangelism, and the reports have been coming through, and I read this morning just before coming to church, Billy Graham's last statement there, where the black communities made their demands again because they've been neglected, and the Indians, they stood up and said, we are the most unprivileged and neglected and so forth. You know, there is a cry going up, not only from just the Pentecostal element, but there's a cry from men and women who have, I believe, really been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ throughout the entire world. And they recognize that all of the church program and everything else that we have depended on has not got the job done. And so therefore, I've entitled this message, A Cry for the Supernatural. Now, after 430 years, they begin to cry for the supernatural. How long is it going to take you and I? How many years, how many months, weeks is it going to take before we turn and begin to cry out of the very depths of our souls for the supernatural? I know that when we begin to talk a little about the supernatural, that a lot of people said, well, now they're getting ready to go off on one of these tangents, and you can't tell what's going to take place. This is true, friend. When God, in his great supernatural power, begins to move in the realm that he wants to move. And I read it to you, if you'd noticed there, and God said, they're not going to let you go. But when I stretch forth my hand, I want you to notice, I'm going to smite Egypt in such a way, and with all of my wonders, which I'll do in the midst of them, something they'd never seen. They'd never heard. They'd never seen the dust of the earth just all at once turn to lies. They'd never seen all of these things that transpired. And my friend, you and I, as Pentecostal believers today, I need to get out of that old rut that we've been stuck in so long and said it's got to go right down this little channel or this little avenue. But God said, when I stretch out my hand and I begin to do all of my wonders, then they're going to let you go. Hallelujah. So I want you to notice, just in passing quickly, a few supernatural things, and carry this with you this morning when you leave. First of all, remember this, friend, that God is a supernatural God. Amen? Hallelujah. And if anything is accomplished, it will be accomplished by a supernatural God. For in Hosea, you'll notice in the 11th chapter, verse 9, he said, I am God and I'm not a man. I'm a supernatural God. Hallelujah. Oh, and what does this consist of? You could stay here and preach on and on and on and on, amen, about it. But if you turn in Genesis, it merely states the fact of, in the beginning, God. And if you'll notice this, Elohim here is used about 2,500 times in the Old Testament alone, talking about this supernatural God that says, when I stretch forth my hand and I produce all of my wonders among them, then they will let you go. Daniel refers to him in the 7th chapter and the 13th verse as the Ancient of Days. And John the Revelator picked it up in the 5th chapter of Revelation when Jesus, as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, made his way to the throne where the Ancient of Days sit. The glory, hallelujah, of the supernatural God. He is supernatural in his existence. And El means strong one. My friend, imputing it and implying faithfulness. Hallelujah. 2,500 times. There is none above me. I am not a man. I am the supernatural of God. And I believe he's been here this morning in his supernatural presence. Because it, not in the walls of this building, but inside of the heart of man, must the supernatural realm of God work among us today. Hallelujah. I want you to notice then, not only is the supernatural God, but my friend, the Bible is a supernatural book. According to 1 Peter, 2 Peter 1:16, holy men of old spake as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. You know, this book is still standing today. Friends, and if you anchor your faith in a supernatural book, it is going to continue to stand with all of hell's assault against it and all of the enemy proclaiming it isn't true. Glory to God, it stands this morning, hallelujah, as the word of truth and authority and power. And the Bible gives all of the past records of man. Not only does it give the past records of man, my friend, but the Bible this morning gives an up-to-date present of man. Hallelujah. Where he is, how he came, and where he's going, my brother, sister. And so it is a supernatural book in moved upon and in breathed and dwelt in by the power of the supernatural God who moved in the hearts of men and women in a supernatural way to give unto you and I the glorious light that is in this book today. And oh, I would God somehow that there'd be a real revival of old-fashioned Bible reading, carrying us back until we know what God has said and what God has promised that he would do in our midst today. Oh, the cry coming from the hearts of men for the supernatural today. Then I want you to note and think for just a moment with me. Not only is God supernatural, not only is the Bible a supernatural book, but the new birth is a supernatural birth. They're testing science, is doing everything they can to try to produce a human being in a test tube. They're working at it all the time. of my friends, of all of their scientific endeavors and of everything they've ever done, and the transplanting of the heart and all of these other things, the intricate parts of the human body that they've been able to do and to perform, it's only lasted for just a little while. That's all. Just a little while. Think of it, my friend, this morning. But the new birth is a supernatural birth. Somewhere kneeling, somewhere standing, somewhere lying, my friend, comes that supernatural revelation of the new birth when Jesus said, "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." What a transaction! It's beyond the imagination of the human mind. It's beyond the scientific minds of the world today that a man or woman somewhere can kneel at the foot of an old rugged cross, thank God, and be born again. I'm not of flesh, nor the will of man, my friend. I'm not of corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible word of God. And in a moment's time, I thank God, when a man has opened the heart's door under the supernatural God, through the revelation of a supernatural book, he has asked God to come down and take up his abode and dwelling place within his heart. And there has been a transformation. Hallelujah. The Bible has said, "I'll take the old stony heart out and I'll give you a new heart of flesh." There's been a transplanting. Glory to God, my friends, this morning, how it still stands. Hallelujah. And it has never lost a patient when God has transplanted his heart. Between beats, without any blood transfusions or oxygen or anything else to help him, man's heart's been removed and changed, thank God, by the power. You tell me that's not supernatural. That's the greatest miracle, my friend, that has ever happened in this world, when a man on his knees, thank God, is changed from a corruptible being that he is by the supernatural moving of the Spirit and the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only, my friend, is that the great mystery and the great supernatural life of the new birth, but thank God the Christian life that we live today is a supernatural life. Amen? The life that you and I are living right now, it has to be a supernatural life. When you talk of this word supernatural, most people, they get scared. But the great apostle Paul found this supernatural life. In Galatians 2:20, when he said, "I am crucified with Christ." What does crucify mean? He's dead. He has been buried with him, thank God, in baptism. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm dead. Nevertheless, I live. What a contradiction. What a statement he's making here. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I'm now living in the flesh, he said, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. And if you're living the Christian life today, you're living it, my friend, in a supernatural way, or you're not living it at all, because Christ has to live within your heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The life, he said, that I now live in the flesh. Hallelujah. I've been crucified with him, but I'm still alive, he said. But the life that I'm now living, thank God, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, and that makes it supernatural. It's different from the old thing. Things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And not only is the Christian life a supernatural life, but a real revival is a supernatural work of God. For he said in Psalms 85:6, "O Lord, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice again in thee?" And you know, we've had wonderful revivals this year in our church. Great moves of the Spirit of God. Like a while ago when the communion, the Holy Ghost was hovering over this place, and men and women were being touched with the supernatural presence of God. And yet there's a great number in the congregation that has not rejoiced in God in weeks and months and even years. And they've been sitting right there. And here is a cry from the psalmist David crying, "Oh Lord God, will thou thou not come down and revive us again, that thy people may rejoice again in thee? How long has it been since a real revival has broken in your heart? How you said, well, I don't know about this evangelist. I don't know about that pastor. I don't know about this. You know, we're always looking for so many things to criticize. Friend, let's lay them aside. Let's get in before God at the foot of the cross, thank God, and say, Lord, give us a real supernatural revival. You know where it takes place? Right on the inside of the heart. When we begin to worship Him, and we begin to love Him and praise Him, and we begin to rejoice, hallelujah, in the Spirit and the power and the manifestation of God's glory. What are you talking about, preacher? Turn to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, and you'll get a picture of it. You'll find it out. You'll get a picture. In the 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, Israel had backslid. All of them had turned and went their own way. They turned their back upon God. One man walked out of the wilderness, called the children of Israel and King Ahab to the mountain. And he said, all right, let's put it to a test. The God that answered by fire, let him be God. I challenge you. So he brought the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And he challenged them. And they cried until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and nothing happened. He said, all right, now move out of the way. And he said to his servants, order thus and so. Reuben, you're the firstborn. Roll up a stone here and build an altar. And so Reuben rolled in his stone. And he came right down the line to the 12 tribes of the children of Israel as they stood there. When they got their stone rolled in place, he ordered the altar erected on the stone. And then the bullocks slain and the water poured around it. I want you to know these children of Israel, brother, sister, knew exactly what this man was doing. Because they had been there many times before. How many of us as men and women today sit in the congregation, and when God begins to move, we know exactly what's taking place. We may not move, my friend, but we know what's happening because we've been there before. And they'd been there before, my friends, when Elijah erected the altar of God again. And when he had finished, he said, wet it down good. So you'll know that it's going to take the supernatural, amen, to set this thing afire. Brother, water was scarce, and they'd haul that water up on the top of the hill at the command of Elijah. It hadn't rained in 3 years, but he dug a trench and he poured water on it until the water soaked it through and stood in the trench. And then he stood back. Now he said, God, we need a supernatural revival. And the fire of God fell from heaven. Brother, burned up the evening sacrifice. Licked up the water and the dust in the trench, my friend. And when it had finished, Elijah looked around, and all of Israel was upon their face, saying, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Hallelujah. Oh, we need a supernatural revival this morning, my friend. And it comes through the supernatural God. You want to illustrate a little further? You go in Ezekiel 37. And God had a revival in a graveyard. And if He can have a revival in a graveyard, He can have one anywhere. He picked old Ezekiel up and set him down in the midst of these dry bones. Ezekiel said, as far as he could see, they were very dry, bleached out white in the sun. The Spirit said, Ezekiel, can they live? Oh, God, he said, I don't know about this. I think if I'd have been the evangelist, I said, Lord, you called me to the wrong place. Yes. Ezekiel, here's God asking him, can they live? And Ezekiel said, God, I don't know. You alone have the answer. I don't know this morning, but I know who's got the answer. Glory to God, He's the supernatural God. And when the cry begins to come out of the heart of the children of Israel, and they cried by reason of their suffering, they cried by reason of their distress, they cried because of their slavery, their bondage, they got tired of it. When we get tired of sin, my friend, when we get tired of this world and what the world has to offer us, and we begin to cry, oh God, I want You to come down and revive us again to deliver us. Brother, there will be the hand of the supernatural God with all of His wonders, not like you and I think it ought to be, my friend, but like God wants it to be. God must have handed Ezekiel the book and he said, Ezekiel, walk out there and begin to preach to those dry bones. I don't imagine there was too much inspiration there. I've tried to put myself there. I've been there a few times when there wasn't any. And I've tried to give a congregation a few blood transfusions so I could get them warmed up enough to even raise up their hand. And I thought of old Ezekiel preaching to all that valley of white, dry bones. And God said, go ahead, Ezekiel, and preach to them. And old Ezekiel stepped out. And you know what he said? Now, you old dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Oh, that's why I told you a while ago, oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank God.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus.
Oh,
yes. Glory to Jesus.
That's why I told you it was a supernatural God. It's a supernatural book.
Yes.
He put it in the hand of Ezekiel. He said, he didn't start out telling him he was the evangelist that came, or the pastor, or that he was the prophet or had been mistreated. Old Ezekiel walked in the middle of that bunch of dry bones. He said, oh, you old dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.
Praise God.
Oh, he knew, my friends, that he was going to take something more than the natural if anything was going to happen in that graveyard. Glory to God. And I'm here to tell you this morning, my friend, it's going to take more than the natural. It's going to take more than church buildings and giving of our money and giving our offerings and all of these other things that we're bogged down sometimes in, my friend. We're going to have to get beyond the natural into that supernatural realm. Glory to God, for we're in a valley of dry bones today. And Ezekiel said, oh, you valley of dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And you know the rest of that story, my friend. I thank God as he kept repeating what God had said. He heard a rattling noise and looked out. And for some reason, one old dry bone was bumping against another dry bone. A brother in Ezekiel's faith began to rise a little bit. And God said, what do you think now? Ezekiel said, I don't know, God. He said, preach on. Ezekiel kept preaching. While he was preaching, if you please, the power and the glory of God came down upon those dry bones. He saw flesh and sinew come upon him. And they were still laying down. He said, what do you think now? He said, I don't know, Lord. And he said, prophesy to the wind. What is he talking about? The same thing that's in here this morning, my friend. Thank God. He said, I prophesy. Oh, breath of God. What is the breath of God? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. The wind that came on the day of Pentecost. Glory to God that sent a revival down in the soul. A supernatural revival. He said, I prophesy. And the wind began to blow. And all of a sudden, a great army stood up on his feet.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah.
Supernatural. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
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 Glory to God.
Where did it come from? It came out of the cry.
Yeah.
Because they were in bondage and slavery, depressed and tired of it. As long as we're satisfied to sit in a nice, comfortable pew, as long as we're satisfied, rub shoulders with sin and not say too much about it, just cruise along, as long as we're satisfied to sit real dignified and never cry or weep around the altar for a lost soul, as long as we're satisfied to sit, my friend, and just say, well, I belong down to Covenant Assembly of God Church, and never let the breath of the Spirit blow upon us, we'll not ever see the move of the supernatural. But when we get to the place, my friend, that we've had enough of it, glory to God, we begin to cry. God said, I'm going to stretch forth my hand. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And when I stretch forth my hand, and they see the wonders that I'll perform in their midst, they'll let you go.
Yes.
Everybody said, I can't quit this, I can't quit that, I can't quit that. You won't have to quit it when God stretches forth his hand. When the wonder of God, when the wonder of God begins to happen in your soul, it'll quit you. Amen?
Yeah.
It'll quit you. Oh, I know. I know, my friend. Yeah. It'll leave you when the wonder of God begins to come into your soul. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to quit. The second of coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be a supernatural coming.
Praise God.
Did you hear me? And it's right at the door.
Yes.
And the evangelists preach Friday night. Hallelujah. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be a supernatural. He came the first time in a natural form. This time he's going to come in his supernatural body. Amen. He's not even coming back down to this earth. This second time when he gets here. This same Jesus which you see going to heaven shall also come in like manner. And out there on the top of Mount Olives I stood. And they said, this is about the spot where Jesus was when he left. And I looked right straight up, and there's the blue sky and a little bitty white fluffy clouds floating around up there. And I said, well, you know, that was a mystery, wasn't it? To stand here and be talking to a man, conversing with him and telling me to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father and that I'm going to come back and receive you, but you wait there until you're endued with power from on high. And he was telling me all of these things, and all at once I began to see him just kind of lift like this in my presence, and then he gets a little higher and a little higher, and finally his feet's about my eye level, and I look, and there he is suspended between the heavens and the earth, right out there in that atmosphere that I'm breathing. And then he just gradually begins to go up and up and up and up, and they begin to bend their head back just a little further, a little further, a little further, and finally they're looking almost straight up, and it's like one of these great jets, and he almost just becomes a little bitty speck is all they can see. And while they're looking and beholding in that magnitude of what's actually transpiring and happening, two angelic beings taps them on the shoulder and said, you men of Galilee, why are you mystified by this? This same Jesus that you see going there into the azure blue is going to come back in the same way. Oh, nothing ever happened like this before, my friend. It never transpired. It was supernatural. And let me tell you, we're waiting, brother, for one thing. One more great event on God's calendar. And that's the sounding of the trumpet. When this same supernatural Jesus leaves the throne of his Father, my friend, and comes back and gathers up his bride. Thank God to make the thing full and complete. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And John, Paul gave it to us. He said, but I would not have you be ignorant concerning how these which are fallen asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died, and if we believe that he rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord. Get this, by the word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord. He said, we say it unto you, amen. Praise God, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are fallen asleep. He said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. If you have to die and are be buried here, he has given you the privilege of coming out of the grave first before any of these that are alive sitting around here, brothers and sisters, have the opportunity to rise. And when he has raised the dead that has fallen asleep in him, then the Spirit will quicken us, my friend, who remain, and we will be called up together in the clouds. Notice this, my friend, in the clouds. Glory to God, it'll be supernatural. Oh, hallelujah, the world has never heard or seen or felt anything like it, but it's on the eve of transpiring of this morning as we sit here, the supernatural revelation of Jesus breaking the azure blue, coming back to gather us as his bride. Thank you, Lord, for the move of your Spirit. The power of your presence. The glory of God in the souls of your people. We praise you for the touch of God right now. Hallelujah, that's breaking upon the heart of every man and woman in this congregation. I know you're here and you want to do something in the lives of men and women today. And Lord, let it take place right now in a supernatural way for the glory of God. Will you stand quietly with your head bowed for just a moment? Now, I know I've kept you a little over time. It takes a little longer on Communion Sunday. But thank you for staying, being so kind. I'm going to ask them as they sing, the altars are open. And what a wide altar we have here. And the prayer room is open. And there's a prayer room on both sides all the way around the back of this choir loft here. And if you're hungry and thirsty, if you're tired, my friend, of all that's been going on, just open your heart and begin to cry to God. And God will stretch.